I involved myself very much in organized real estate. In 1967, when I was 5 years of age, I was Realtor Week chairman for our local board of realtors. And my job was to introduce the speaker for that morning, and I was in front of 300 people for the first time in my life. And as I physically stood up, my mind sat down. And I struggled and stuttered through that introduction. And I almost convinced myself when I left the podium that I would never, ever speak in public again. Until I was saved by Larry Mosier. Larry's a great guy. He was the editor of a local newspaper. He says, "Bruce, how did you feel up there?" Knowing what the answer would be. And I said, "Well, I felt terrible." He says, "You know, you have the makings of being a good speaker, but you sure need a lot of help." And the help I received was 5 years at Toastmasters, where I learned to communicate in public. Public speaking, door knocking. I got my baptism by fire in terms of door knocking when I was 8 years of age. You all know the story. I was born in Newcastle, northern England, a coal mining town. Coal miners come out of the ground every day covered with coal dust. So my dad had a bleach business like Clorox bleach to sell door-to-door to the wives of the miners. And I had no choice. Dad was bigger than I was. He needed my help. He wasn't a cruel man, but he certainly needed that extra help. Now let me back off for just a moment. In my 20s and 30s, not too long ago, I made a fortune knocking on doors in real estate. It wasn't the commissions, although I did make good commissions, it was taking those commissions and buying the product I believed in, real estate. But at the age of 8, I did not want to knock on doors. I was petrified. Some people said yes, but most said no, just like our business. And sometimes the door was shut in my face. And that, candidly, is probably the worst thing that can happen to us in terms of knocking on doors. And I came back to my dear father. I says, "Dad, some of these people don't love me." Remember, I'm 8 years of age. Dad gave me some very sound advice. He says, "Bruce, son, it's not a matter of love. Some people will buy, some people will not. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the product. Separate yourself and you will not only survive, you will prosper." Now the message there for me from my father was, have the mental and emotional courage to do it. As was said this morning, the first door is always the most difficult. And I've advised you, those of you who are a little uptight about this, go out with another friend in the company and do it together. Compete with each other. Do one side of the street each in terms of making it happen. A lesson I learned a long time ago, and this may have happened to you, is I'm pulling out of my four-bedroom, three-bathroom house that I paid $33,000 for in Cerritos, brand new, payments of $268 a month, wondering how I was going to make those payments. And I saw a competitor's for sale sign across the street from me. First, I was in denial. Had to be a mistake. Then I had the realistic understanding of knowing that I had not ever met the people across the street. Why hadn't I gone across the street and met 10 people across the street from me and 5 people on each side of me? Lesson well learned, and that's a lesson I'm giving to each of you today. 10 people across the street, 5 people on each side. Then you have to make another determination. Do you want a geographical farm close to your office or close to your home? I would choose those closer to my office because, candidly, and maybe I was mistaken, I wanted to have my privacy when I got home. Did it work for me? Not as well as I expected based on the example I've just given you, but it did work. Now, why should we go door to door? If you farm by sending out mail, letters, and you don't get a response back in the mail, you may feel rejection, but you have no emotional involvement. There's no real feelings of failure because you didn't stretch. If you pick up the telephone and make a phone call and someone hangs up on you, yeah, you feel some degree of rejection, but not to the extent that you'd feel if you banged on someone's door and they closed it on you. And that's one of the main challenges you've always got in this business. I've said to you, ladies, you have no reason not to knock on doors. You're not going to be intimidating to anybody. You gentlemen, when you knock on doors, stand 5 feet back, have a clipboard, look down the street, whistle. Rapists don't whistle. But knock on those doors. You're going to find a third of the people home. I found that Saturday mornings were a great time because most people usually are home on Saturday morning. And I told you when I worked for the Apple Valley Building and Development Company in land, I would drive up and down streets, my form of farming, totally lost, asking for directions. Anyone that walked down the street with a dog, shopping baskets filled with groceries, someone fixing a car, I wanted to meet as many people as I possibly could. And what better way to meet people face to face than doing what I just suggested? Now, how do you select a farm? That's an individual decision each of you can make. Craig said it this morning, 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom homes are very, very good because the people that bought those maybe had no children or one child when they bought it, and the family in all probability has grown, and they need more space. And we have a guaranteed sale program in our company. That's a different subject. Well, we'll guarantee the sale of a 2-bedroom as long as they're moving up to a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom or 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home. Now, you may do this, and I did this too. I did choose a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom subdivision, happened to be in Artesia. But I also chose a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom subdivision in the city of Cerritos. I wanted a change of pace. I wanted variety. I wanted to meet different kinds of people in reference to my life in the farm system. Now, introducing yourself. And there's all kinds of ways to do this. And you might think, well, this is rather personal, but I would say, I don't mean to be personal, but. And when you say to someone, I don't mean to be personal, but, what can you be?
Personal.
But have you thought about planning on moving in the near future? That's direct. Well, no. If you did move, I'm just curious, where would you move to? And if you're not planning on moving today, is there a time in the near future where you may contemplate moving? Now, then you get into, if you have time, FORD, family. Children at home, are you a family person? How old are the kids, boys or girls? Do you see differences in their personalities? I know, again, I'm being very personal. What kind of occupation do you have? If you had your life to live over, would you change your occupation? When you're not working, what do you do for recreation? How do you recharge your batteries? That's the R, F-O-R-D. And then fulfilling a dream. I know it's difficult to win a lottery, but if you win a lottery and you won $10 million and you could just blow $1 million, what would you do with the money? You're bonding with these people, and then you better take notes from that conversation because you're going to record those notes for future reference because I expect you'll be back in that farm area once a month, and I'm going to give you reasons for doing it, okay? Now, planning for the year. One of our I'm going to talk about two multimillionaires in our company who are no longer in our company who are retired. I'll give you the names, Dick Colton and David Emerson, two of the greatest farmers our company's ever had. I remember David Emerson getting up in the late 70s saying, the first year on my farm, I only took 3 listings. Mm-hmm. But 3 listings is better than no listings that sold, by the way. At the end, he was taking 20 to 25 listings a year in his farm. Dick Colton, another multimillionaire, he got to the point in time in 10 hours a week, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, 10 hours a week, he made $75,000 a year. That was almost 20 years ago. Multiply that by 2 in terms of inflation. He was making $150,000 a year, 10 hours a week. But he had to get to that stage where he was almost a family member in that farm area because they knew him so well. So you plan for the year. Now, in reference to the newsletter, I've given you an opportunity with the newsletter to review it. Vince Gears, out of our Ontario office, taking 1 listing a month. Now listen carefully to this, because it's brilliant, yet very simple. He's hardly met anybody in his farm. Now, if you're a shy person, by the way, I think shyness is a social disease, and I have it. I'm naturally an introverted person. People don't believe this, but I've learned to mask it. Every month, at 6 o'clock in the morning, with a T-shirt and shirts, he delivers a flyer by hanger, door hanger, to everybody in his farm system. But what he's done, he's dissected that farm. He chose a farm where people made loans from 2003 to 2007. Why? Because he knew they needed his help due to the recessionary market that we've been through. That will change, but adaptability is the price we pay for survival and growth, and you move to the market in which you find yourself. But once a month, he'd go through that. And if someone was home, he would talk with them. But his major reason for being there was to give them an update on what was going on in the marketplace, because they loved that. Now, in the Inland Empire, he chose a subdivision of $400,000 homes. You must recognize, in the Inland Empire, that was a high-priced property. But to sell one a month? And every time he'd hold open house, he would really maximize the open house. And how do you do that? By being smart enough to hit the whole neighborhood around the open house, asking, would you like to choose your own neighbor? And he was smart enough to get permission from the seller not to put up a sales sign on the property right away, because it gave him the opportunity for a double ender. He wasn't going to have some cousin of a person that lived three doors down come in with an outside realtor to sell that property. He wanted to have the first opportunity. What was his sales talk? Very simple. I have a secret I'd like to share with you. I've just put your neighbor's home on the market for sale three doors down. I have to confess something. I need your help. Can you help me? Is there anyone at work that might be interested in living close by? Do you have a friend you go bowling with or play golf with that might be a neighbor? Do you have a relative, a good relative, that might be involved in this particular situation? You're thinking on your feet in reference to that. And on a newsletter. What do you do with a newsletter? You know, his newsletter, he's advertising the fact that he has YouTube and videos that they can look at. And he's telling the whole world what has sold, what's been rejected, and what's presently on the market. People love this kind of information. They really do. And why not get involved in topical subjects? You have to have a reason for going out there every month. I talked about earthquake awareness in California. July the 4th, you're delivering flags. October, you're delivering pumpkins. You can have something every month that's topical to deliver in your farm system, because people need to identify with you and bond with you. And again, in terms of additional handouts, I think I've expressed most of them to you, but think on your feet, think outside the box. I've told you that I read constantly the magazine The Economist, the Time magazine, and Bloomberg's Business. You will find almost every month or every week an article in there that you could deliver to your farm system. We deliver flyers to you every week here. A lot of those flyers would be germane to having the homeowner, be interested in what's happening in the marketplace. I mean, think about what's happened to appreciation in the last year. Wouldn't a homeowner be interested not only not learning it from you, but learning it from a third party, which gives you reinforcement? It's endorsing what you're communicating. Now, the secret to the personal relationship, and I've said this so many times, if you can dig into a person's psyche well enough to understand what makes them tick, you can really get on a first-name basis with them. I've used my mom as an example, 92 years of age. I was out to lunch with her yesterday. She's losing her eyesight, her hearing, but not her opinions. But she has macular degeneration. There are people in your farm system who have parents that have that same suffering. If you find an article in a magazine that you can relate to them and give it to them, does that have an impact? Please say yes, it does. A lot of people have Crohn's disease. I'm not talking about negative subjects for the sake of talking about them, but it's of interest to people, and it perks up their curiosity. You've made a friend. And you need to learn what are their likes and dislikes. The person that loves Chinese food, the person that loves lilacs as a flower, the person whose red is their favorite color. It may be something that simple, but understanding what it is that makes it happen. So personal relationships are so important, and building a personal relationship with each person on the farm will make you a winner when it comes to their time and thinking in terms of moving. And remember, not only are they thinking along that way, but they have friends and relatives who may be thinking, and if you have made that impact with them, you will have the ability to be with their friends and relatives. Now, additional ideas. And I want to remind you of this. Every one of you have written a contract this last month that's been rejected. We may make four or five offers before one's accepted. What you need to do with that contract, if the contract was on a specific street, it may not be in your farm area, but you make a temporary farm out of that area by going around it, 50 doors around, and saying, I have a buyer ready, willing, and able. We just missed out on this particular home. Here it is. They're real people. Would you be interested in moving in the near future? Okay? So that's a very, very critical part of it. Remember I talked to you about Mrs. Everready. Let me remind you what that was. I made a total mistake thinking that Mrs. Everready wanted a specific type of home in a specific area. And she ended up buying the exact opposite. But the reason she did is she bought it from a young man who was holding open house, who banged on her door and brought her across the street to look at the property that he had available. We got a great idea from Carlos Aviso recently. Carlos took the time, every time he sold a piece of property, he'd have the family who purchased the property stand outside the front of the home that was being purchased with him in a photograph. Think how many ways you can use this with sellers as well as buyers. Now look, I'm going to give each of you a challenge. This morning, when hands were asked to be raised in terms of who was farming, about one-third of you raised your hand. That means two-thirds of you need to do this. I cannot tell you sufficiently well, with enough impact, that once you start farming, you will be amazing in your marketing ability. Because not only will you be able to speak to strangers, you'll sharpen your wits to be able to communicate to anybody at any time.